Okay, so why don't you introduce yourselves?
All right, well, my name is Anthony DiCarlo, and I'm a junior, double major in government international politics and conflict analysis and resolution with a concentration in international conflict.
Okay.
My name is Krista, and I'm also Krista Muse, and I'm also a junior, double majoring in government, international politics, and conflict analysis and resolution. For the record, I was that first. My concentration's in community and organizational conflict.
Okay, so we're going to start off with some questions about why you two are running for office for student government. So that's actually the first question. Why are you running for office?
All right. Well, the reason we're running for office is Krista and myself, Krista and myself, I just wanted that to be correct English.
Krista and I.
Right. Sorry. Hey, you work for the paper, so you would know. We have a very strong passion for really working to help out students. I've been involved in student government for the last 3 years. Krista's been involved for the last two. And I can honestly say that in the time that I've spent in student government, there has been some progressive changes that have tried to, you know, make student life here at Mason a little bit better. And the thing is this is, you know, we've talked about doing this for a very long time. Back when we were freshmen, actually, we're like, we should do this. If things, you know, really work out, you know, our way and we really have a good time with student government, you know, in the years leading up, I think this is something that we should pursue. In no way, shape, or form do I think I just like feel like it's owed to me, because I think that's been said a few times out there that we feel like we're owed this position, which is not the case.
I feel like we worked our
I've been working my tail off. Yeah, I said tail because I didn't want to curse, but we've been working our butts off to really get out to students and talk to students, and you know, I think the biggest thing is that student government can really improve on is the fact that we're not very good at telling students enough about the things that we're doing. I think the greatest success story that we have this year so far is the Gunston Go Bus, which is, you know, providing students with a brand new service. Right now it's on the weekends, but it's just a pilot program right now. If there's enough riders on it and it's getting enough use, they really want to look to extend it to the entire week next year. So that's just one thing that we've been working on. But yeah, I mean, Krista and I are very involved in other things on campus, and we just feel like, in terms of our experience and in terms of the connections that we've made in the 3 years that, I mean, I've been in the 2 years that Krista's been in, we really know what it takes to get stuff done and not just, like, come in and pound your fist and say, this is going to change.
Yeah, I think I was confused by that reference.
It's an Obama reference.
I think that in terms of why we got involved in student government in the first place is just a passion for making this institution. I mean, we're both out-of-state students, so this is like our home, and we both live here year-round now. And it's kind of like I want people to love Mason as much as I do, and we see things that need to be fixed. You know, there are things that you don't tell people on tours. We give tours to the admissions office, and those are the things that we want to fix about Mason. We want people to be just as proud to be here as we are. So if we can get some other students to feel the same way, have that same patriot pride, then that's what it's all about for us.
Great. Okay. So do you have a specific campaign platform? If so, what is it?
Okay. Well, based upon our website, we address pretty much the key issues that have been brought up over and over and over again. Not just this year, but in years past. You know, it's housing, dining, tuition, really parking. Yeah, parking. How can I forget? And really, you know, there's only so much that student government can really do to affect those things. The student government is really an advocacy group on behalf of students in terms of, you know, advocating to the administration, advocating to the BOV. I think sometimes there's a misconception that student government can go in there and be like, students want this, this has to change, now go do it. Things don't really work that way. I just had a little bit of a brain fart.
Anyway, so our platform...
I'll come right back
out. It's basically focused on different... a vision, kind of more, and it's centered around communication and results. Communication, we think, can be increased, not only between students and student government, we already said, talking more with the students about what it is that we do and getting better feedback from them about what it is that they want. And then also between student organizations, because we feel like there's a lot of cool things that go on here at Mason, and it's just the awareness of those things that's really going to increase community spirit. And being the budget the way it will be next year with all student organizations, you know, getting a hit, student government included, it's going to be more and more important for us to work together and get things done. There'll be things that we won't be able to do alone next year, certain events that we always do that we're going to need help from people with. And I'm sure other student organizations are going to feel the same way. So we want to increase that kind of communication between the student organizations and also between the administration and the students. We think, we've been there when the administration has made certain decisions, and we've also know as students that it would be nice to have more communication when those decisions are made as opposed to when we have to pay the bill for those decisions. Yeah. I think also the kind of communication between different departments within the administration could be increased. I know that each department kind of does its own thing in terms of parking, dining, and housing, and tuition, and they don't necessarily see the cumulative effect that that has on a student. We pay for all of it, and they may not necessarily, they think that their increase isn't a lot, but when you pull it all together, it's pretty expensive.
And I think one of the good things, or one of the things that I'm proud of in terms of our platform is none of the stuff that we're trying to do is very, earth-shaking, anything like that. It's pretty common sense kind of things, better communication, more transparency, and I think what's most important is a certain degree of flexibility. And that's in regards to having student involvement in the process. I think far too many times students just become complacent and they're like, well, this is how it's going to be, if I'm not going to involve myself in the process because there's pretty much no chance of it changing, which really isn't the case. I'm a big advocate of student activism.
Mm-hmm.
And actually I'm seeing a lot of it right now in terms of like the circus in town, and you have people that are angry that the circus is here, some mad because of parking, some mad for the treatment of animals. And I mean, I'm not here to pick and choose sides or pick and choose what student groups I want to work with and stuff like that. It's, really fostering, trying to get everyone to say, what's your issue? I mean, sometimes we're going to have answers that you're maybe not going to want to hear. I mean, on our website, we have a section called What's Your Beef? And sometimes we've had people write on it with issues, and we're honest with them. I was like, someone asked me, can you stop Ringling Brothers from ever coming back? And I said, I really don't think that we can do that in terms of how Patriot Center is contracted out, Parking Services is contracted
right.
out. The university really has very little say over what they do, but that doesn't mean that you should just lie down and take it. So I definitely, one of the things is, we're not here. I mean, if me and Krista want to get up on our soapbox and try and, say, you need to change this, the administration could give, two craps what we think. But when we have 600 to 700 people behind us saying, this policy, the way you're doing this needs to change, it makes it a lot easier for us then to advocate and say, it's not just two people saying this needs to change. So,
Do you have a method that you intend to use to encourage student advocates?
Yeah. Actually, one of the best examples this year is the Mason Green Fund, which is a relatively new organization working in conjunction with the Sustainability Office. They came to student government and asked us, Student Senate, and they asked us, basically, can you help support the idea of having like a $5 additional fee added onto the students' tuition that would go into this endowment fund for green, promoting green revenue.
Yeah, and sustainability projects.
And we said, I don't know. It's a really hard sell now to tell people. I understand it's only $5. I understand it's a very minimal amount, but it's really hard to advocate for that right now to students, especially in these economic times. However, we said to them, what you really need to do if you really want the university to get behind this is start going around, getting petitions, having people sign them, increasing student awareness of the issue, and you'll see a lot more success. I actually was at a meeting the other day where it was a Panhellenic meeting where the Office of Sustainability was there. I can't remember the guy's name, but I know he worked with the Sustainability Office. And Mason right now is competing in a like a green campus initiative with other schools around the country. And right now we're in first place. And like we have like 900 something students registered for this green initiative, and we're about like 200 or 300 ahead of the second place school. So it looks good for our school when we do things like that. And it's just another reason why, like, you know, creating student activism is where you want to go. And I mean,
we also have, Anthony already talked about What's Your Beef, the forum that we have, but we'd like to include that in the student government website, make it something more like a rolling blog type thing where students can comment on issues and then comment on other students' issues. And if we can get enough, like, not that Anthony and I aren't real students, but real student feedback, and, you know, be able to bring that type of information to the administration and say, look at all these students who feel this particular way about an issue. That's what we want. We've done petitions in the past for student government that have been pretty successful, and just kind of figuring out those ways to get more student involvement.
And I think sometimes there's issues that have been brought up in me just going around talking to people that I didn't even know existed. One of the biggest ones being the transfer and the transferring process, the orientation, the transfer of credits. It's piss poor. You're basically giving students that are transferring into this university, you give them one day to cram in all of the information that is put on when you come in as a freshman, that you have 3 days to, you know, get acclimated with. And in terms of credits, I mean, I understand that there's a business aspect to this university, but when you're coming in and you have 79 credits from another institution, and Mason's not taking a good portion of them, and they're making you retake classes that you've already taken, you know, so I'm under the impression if you take Orgochemistry in South Carolina and you take Orgochemistry in Fairfax, Virginia, it's the exact same Orgochemistry. I don't see how science changes via state borders, but maybe it's just me. But I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, you're paying basically twice for the same kind of education. There was an initiative that Kristen and I worked on. This is going back to student activism. Where we tried to increase the maximum credit limit from 16 to 18 credits. So essentially you'd be able to take 6 classes without having to pay the penalty that you pay right now. I think looking back on it now, we would have done things maybe a little differently. Mm-hmm. But that's the kind of stuff is you can't just go up to, you know, the provost level, go up to the BOV level and just have like, you know, 40 people saying, oh, this isn't good. This isn't good here at Mason. This is a 30,000... you know, student institution. You better have a lot of people behind you if you want to get something accomplished here. So.
Okay. So sort of covered this already, I guess, but what idea from your platform are you most excited about potentially initiating?
Okay. We have two separate ones. For me, it is the President's Council, which is something we haven't talked about yet. And the idea behind the President's Council is basically creating a forum that would serve two functions. The first being, we would get the presidents of all of the different organizations on campus, so 287, I think, is where it's at right now, and on a monthly basis, meet with them and basically create a master calendar of events that will be going on during the campus and work out ways that we can market these events to the entire student population so that we don't have people doing their own segmented little individualistic, you know, events. You really open up the process. The second part of it is to create a forum where you can have organizations that haven't normally worked together in the past. For example, the other day in the Panhellenic meeting where I went to go speak, I said, you know, if AOPI wanted to work with the Indian Student Association, that's a pretty random, you know, cooperation right there. But the thing is, you know, sometimes people try to say that, you know, it's all about money. That's the only way that you can do events. Sometimes it's just manpower and support is what you really need. We've outsourced, and student government has worked a lot in the past few years with Program Board, Pride Alliance, and, you know, we really just want to keep building upon that, because one of the other things, and I think it's what Chris is going to really talk about, is trying to build a sense of community, and the President's Council allows us to do that. Now, ideally, I would love to see everyone sit on it. Realistically, is every president from every organization going to sit on this council? It's up to their prerogative. If there's 287, I'm going to be floored if I win. That would be ridiculous. I think it would be great for the university, but, you know, I'll be realistic. I don't want to set goals and then, you know, not be able to reach them. So I think even if we were able to get, like, 30 to 50 organizations to be willing to sit down, that that's a good step in terms of progress for this university. So,
yeah. And for me, I think, the thing I'm most excited about in terms of building community spirit is extending the tailgates for all the weekend to all the weekend home basketball games. Program board does it for homecoming, and being, you know, an out-of-state student, there needs to be stuff to do on weekends. And we've actually already been in contact with the Alumni Association, and they're really excited to work with us and to purchase a liquor license or to do whatever, you know, needs to be done to plan those tailgates for those basketball games. And like we already said, we've been working with program board. We've worked with them in the past. We've kind of already talked to them a little bit about, you know, some plans for what we could do. Personally, I would love to see a chili cook-off come and, like, with all the area restaurants. But, you know, I'm just putting that out there for everyone else who's interested.
ITU does a chili cook-off, actually.
I do remember they did do it. I don't know if they did it last year, but I know they did it my freshman year.
I'm pretty sure they've done it every year.
I know it used to be right out in front of, like, the Bulgeno School.
I would love that. Oh, that's so great. It's all about just building community spirit, finding, you know, fun things for students to do that's also obviously safe. Another one thing that's actually been my pet peeve since I came to Mason is that there's really very little on this campus that's painted green and gold. And while I understand not everything can be green and gold, I just feel like it's a small step towards building community spirit. I think we have some really great art students here at Mason. We have some really great, marketing students and things like that would love to come in and, you know, do murals on some of the walls. I know that, you know, I think the student government
like
office should be painted
to Gunston
too.
Or something.
Yeah, just somewhere on campus. There's a lot of white stuff on campus, white pillars and walls that really need to be spruced up, I think. And green and gold, I can see no better colors than green and gold to cover that stuff. So, I mean, that actually used to be my biggest pet peeve about Chow Hall. Caribbean colors, really? What?
There's nothing like the 1970s color scheme.
That's true. But yeah, so just, you know, little things to build community spirit.
Okay. So what legislation, event, or project are you most proud to have taken part of in student government?
All right. I think, once again, we're going to have two separate answers.
Yeah.
That's fine.
For me, it was last year when we were able to pass a new student body constitution. I was the government and academic affairs chair in Senate last year and kind of led the spearhead at the discretion of the speaker to really take charge and really fix our biggest governing document, which was pretty much modeled after the actual federal constitution of the United States. It actually had clauses in there about our inability to raise an army, stuff like that.
It just didn't fit the organization at all.
It didn't fit what we as a student government are supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So the GNA committee worked on it for a very long time last year, trying to get all the kinks out, put up a good solid document. We sent it. It was approved by the Senate. The president initially vetoed it, but we overturned the president last year. I think the only veto from last year. And it was voted on by the student body, and it got overwhelming support. I know our advisor, Jude Butch, always talks to us, you know, what kind of legacy you're going to leave on student government? What kind of legacy you're going to leave behind for future generations to know about? And I'm going to be able to say that, you know, I helped work on our governing document, the thing that not only applies to student government, it applies to all students here at Mason. Applies to all students here at Mason, and I'm really proud of that. It's probably the most proud thing I have in student government right now.
Okay.
Yeah, and for me, I think it was this year doing the Academic Advising Expo, which is like the very first year student government has done an event like that in conjunction with the Academic Advising Center. And we had talked for a long time, for the 2 years that I've been on the Government Academic Affairs Committee, about academic advising and the state of advising here at Mason. It's kind of, since everything's so decentralized, each department has its own policies. Some departments do really well, other departments don't. We were trying to work on a more centralized policy, but it became really difficult. A lot of bureaucratic red tape and something like that. So we decided to do something a little more grassroots. So we planned the Academic Advising Expo, and it's something the Academic Advising Center used to do, like a majors and minors fair every year, but it wasn't for all students. It was really only for those students that didn't know what their majors were. And so kind of by changing the focus to all students, we had all of the colleges represented. And for our first year, I think we only had, 32 of the departments come. We had a lot who afterwards expressed interest in doing it for next year. And so it was really great. It was the first year we had over 300 students come. You know, and we worked really hard on fundraising for the event. We applied for grants within the university. And actually, the entire event cost $3,700, and student government only paid $1,700. And so while I can clear the air about a certain article that was published about the event that said I spent $5,000.
Thanks for those mugs.
I know, no problem. I wasn't actually even the sponsor of that bill, but in the entire event, student government actually only spent $1,700. We worked really hard with other departments who provided us with donations and, like I said, different university life grants to kind of bring a new service to students of increasing the accessibility and awareness about academic advising. Because half the battle is to get students to figure out who their advisor is. And so we're hoping that if we can find one-stop shop for them to see their advisor. Some students have specific needs where they're double majors or major and minor, and it's difficult for them to run from one department to another and make sure they have all their stuff in order before they graduate. And you know, I would love to see it obviously be a yearly thing, but if we could even get it down to the point where it's every semester, I think it'll really help students to get all their, you know, stuff in order before they register for classes. And I think we'll really see a lot of students who will be able to graduate in 4 years as opposed to the national average of 5, because they know what their requirements are for graduation. Because I know a lot, I've talked to a lot of people who are graduating who say that the hardest thing is their graduation requirements and making sure they have all those things covered before it's surprise, you can't graduate because you're missing one class, or, you know, something like that that they completely overlook because they haven't seen an advisor.
I think I just want to interject. I just thought of another thing that I'm actually really proud of. And that'd be Gold Rush, and I'm just going to talk about it real quickly. Gold Rush was conceived, it was conceived when I was a freshman. And I remember there was a debate over whether students should have to pay $5 for the shirt or not. And I was a very big proponent of not paying for it. It needs to be a free service. That year, student government did do a little bit of some wasteful spending, spent something like $28,000 on 10,000 t-shirts. I can tell you that in the last 3 years that I've been involved, this past year when people got Gold Rush shirts, you know, no one paid any money to get them. And in terms of money that was spent on the shirts, not one single penny of students' money was spent on those shirts. Zach and Claire, who are the president and vice president right now of the student body, basically, you know, burnt the midnight oil trying to get donations from around the university departments, and actually got student government $1,000 over what we were going to spend. So student government, yes, we fronted $17,000 for the Gold Rush, but we received $18,000 back in donations. So that's something that, once again, students wouldn't normally know that, and student government needs to be more transparent and let students know about that, because, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people be like rabble-rousing, okay, student government spends our money on clothes and t-shirts.
No, they don't.
You're thinking of program board. So listen, that's not a slight towards program board. That's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Okay.
Just wanted to clear.
Do you have an event, project, or legislation that you're most proud of outside of student government?
I do. I work through the LEAD office. I'm part of the L team, which is Leadership, Training, Empowerment, and Motivation. It's a student group here on campus. We're fairly young, but we're going strong. We teach leadership training classes at University 100 and do like team building and communication skills. And this year, actually, myself and a fellow L team member, Katie Bowen, who ran for vice president last year. She and I gave a presentation at George Washington, the Student Leadership Symposium, and it was all about effective organization, or how to bring a student organization from just kind of mediocre to a great organization. And I learned a lot throughout the whole process in terms of organizational development I think it's a lot of things that I can bring back to student government about, you know, effective, you know, recruitment of good undersecretaries and secretaries and how to get passionate people and to bring the passion that Anthony and I have for the vision of student government and kind of get everyone else to find out what they're passionate about and work on it, because an organization is only as successful as the weakest person in the organization. And it's something that student government has struggled with in the past 2 years I've been there, about not only getting the right people, but keeping the right people. And it's definitely something that I'm going to put as priority number one when we get elected, taking those skills that I learned in a different part of campus and bringing it to student government, because we can only serve the students so much as we have people to work in student government. And, you know, it's not all about being a government major and working in student government. There's actually, we don't really want government people. We want a marketing major to be doing our advertising. We want a computer science person to be doing IT, because student government website needs to be updated, and I have no idea how to do computers.
Yeah.
So,
our website we didn't even do. We had a contract out for that one.
Because, you know, and so it's not just about, you know, being, I mean, government international politics majors don't represent all the students, and that's not what we want. So.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. This is a tough question. This is probably the
really. I already figured out what you should say.
Really.
Yeah.
What?
Wouldn't you? Aren't you? I feel like because you talk about it all the time. Chi Psi is really for life.
Oh,
I can't believe you didn't think about that.
I'm sorry. Because I was trying to really interpret what the question meant, and I was like, I heard legislative, and I was like, what is he? I don't know what he's talking about. Anyway, no. Actually, I'm a proud brother for 3 years now of Chi Psi fraternity. Not the biggest on campus, not the flashiest at all, but it's a great group of guys. I'm really proud to be a brother. Actually, we had a mixer with you guys the other day. One of the proudest things that we've done, one of the best things that we've done so far this year, is we have dedicated our entire year to raising money for Relay for Life. If you saw our shack during Shackathon during Greek Week, you know, everyone else had their Habitat for Humanity stuff up. We had a big old sign that said Relay for Life. We're very close to our $4,000 marker. And we pretty much have about, I was doing the math the other day, we have something close to about 30% of the money raised at Mason is raised from our single organization. And we're really proud of that. You know, we've had some past alumni who have had family members die from cancer. One of our brothers' grandfather died last year as a result of cancer. My grandmother, you know, is still alive. She suffered from breast cancer. So, I mean, cancer is one of those things that, you know, it touches a lot of people's lives. We're really proud of the job that we've been doing for it. I don't want people to necessarily think that only Greeks can do community service and only Greeks can raise money, because that's not the case. I'm saying this on behalf of my brothers, on behalf of student government, who also has a Relay for Life team, that there's many opportunities for this school to get involved with a lot of philanthropic activities. And I think that really would reflect very greatly on the attitude and culture that we present here at Mason. So now that I understood the question, it all made sense.
Oh, thank you.
That was half the battle.
It really was half the battle.
There you go. How do you think the current president and vice president are doing?
Okay. Well, Zach and Claire came in. I was excited for them, for their victory. I think they've done a very, very, very good job at their job as student body president and vice president. A lot of their initiatives that they've done this year, whether it was the vote van, the Gunston Go Bus, the Green Star program, there's a lot of things that they have done that, should we win, we really want to continue, because they're great ideas, they're great initiatives. We want to tweak them a bit just so that we can expand upon them, not fundamentally really change them. I think the only thing that I would change about the way that they've done things is in terms of marketing and getting the word out there. And it's hard. I mean, we've tried avenue after avenue. We had someone out for the Academic Expo who was just wearing
a sandwich board. Walking around campus.
I mean, I think that's the hardest thing that student government faces is there is a lot that student government does. It's just how do you get the word out to the students? And I think
You know, whether it was Zach and Claire, whoever won last year, or whoever's come in the past, it's really the biggest challenge. That and the fact that you try to keep a good cabinet, you try to keep a good number of people that are working for you that are passionate about what they do. I know Krista touched on that before, but, you know.
Yeah, I think Zach and Claire have done a great job and really, even Drew and Ijama before them, of bringing the organization back from in an organizational disaster when there were impeachments and things like that. We've really come a long way from and really started to serve the students a lot better. I agree with Anthony. We definitely need to do more advertising, being more transparent, updating the website for those who want to know that information. I think Zach's done a good job of, you know, using the broadside to do letters to the editor, and that's definitely, you know, one way. And, you know, reaching out to more student organizations, I think, for those students who are really involved is another way. But, you know, we can do different things like student government needs its own listserv. We don't have one. And, yeah, and so I really think, obviously, it would be voluntary, so any student who would want to get the updates of what we do, get the summaries of meetings and things like that, I really think students deserve to know what goes on, because it's not like we're trying to keep them that information, it's just that we don't have the best avenue, and I think a student government listserv is something that we would work on next year, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's not necessarily Zach and Claire's fault.
Oh, no.
The university really puts up a hell of a lot of roadblocks in terms of trying to communicate between people.
Yeah.
You know, I know one of our opponents is trying to do a student activities listserv kind of thing, and
that's gonna be hard.
That's gonna be hard for them too if they win. So,
but it needs to be done. So it's a battle that needs to be fought regardless. I think the one and I said this before. I will bust Zach's ass about this all the time. Is that the student government's name isn't on the back of the Gold Rush shirts this year? Because I think it was just an oversight accident kind of thing. I just think that was like the first thing I noticed. I think that'd be the only major mistake. In terms of anything, but he knows all about it. I'll let him live that one down.
Okay, so what do you anticipate as being the main responsibilities of office?
That's a pretty simple question. There's no way that you can really advocate for all students all the time, all at once. And that's not a slight at anybody. But what you really need to do is remember that you are there to serve the students, and you yourself are a student. You're in no way, shape, or form above students because you're the student body president or vice president. You know, Krista and I suffer from the same problems that everybody else does. And, you know, I think the thing is really, in a sense, kind of separating yourself and looking at all sides of an issue. You know, people are going to come in from time to time. My door would always be open. People are going to come in time to time with issues and stuff that, you know, they might be very passionate about, but maybe I disagree with where they're coming from. Just because I disagree, it could be, you know, a hill of beans. If there's enough student support or activism for a certain, you know, issue, I'm going to spearhead it because that's my job. It's not my job to pick and choose sides. I'm not a decider like our past president, but you know, I'm here to do basically what they want. The job of being student body president or vice president is you tell us what you want us to do, mm-hmm. and if it's reasonable and it's feasible, we'll go do it. It's really that simple. People try to make the student body president out to be sometimes like the actual president of the United States. And it's not, not to say that it's, you know, to be taken lightly, but, you know, There's certain limitations on what you can do. You really can't come in saying, you know, I'm gonna make it be rainbows and gumdrops, and we're gonna free tuition. We're gonna tell those bastards over in parking services what we want, what the students want. That's really not how it works. You don't get anywhere on this campus by being abrasive, especially to the administration. You get there by making interpersonal connections with these people, you know, and saying, look, there's a student side to everything that goes on. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest thing is, especially from talking to people, is, you know, students understand that there's going to be budget cuts. They understand that, you know, there's going to be hardships. All they want to do is be involved in the process. You know, no one's saying, can students have to be in the controlling, you know, the controlling aspect of any decision that's made, but they want to be involved. They don't want to have to find out after the fact that something happened. And I think that's what our job is, to make sure that people are involved, and that by being involved, you know, you don't have these kind of relapses where
You find out after the fact. And that's what really pisses people off. So
I agree. I think for us, it's about kind of being the middleman between a student and the administration, you know, because it's not easy for, I mean, he could do it, I'm sure, but for Provost Stearns to sit down with the students and explain to them the budget, like, if he wants to sit down with us, it's our job to explain it to the students because they deserve to know. It's not, you know, it's not about Anthony and I knowing everything that goes on campus.
I don't think we would even argue now that we know everything. I don't know anything that's going on campus.
But it's about getting all that information out to the students who want to hear it, you know, and the other way around, vice versa. You know, it's getting that student input back to the administration and say, okay, well, I know you think in from, you know, a certain aspect, this type of policy will be good for the university, but the immediate effect it has on the students here now is such and such, so maybe you could think of another way of going about it. And I think, you know, we've been able to do that in the past in government academic affairs, working very closely with Provost Stearns on a couple of projects and stuff. And we've been successful in the past, so I think just doing that on a wider scale and you know, the students.
He lets us call him Stearnsy. That's not true at all. That's a complete fabrication.
It would be funny if it was
it really
true.
It would be funny if it was true. Maybe.
Let's see. Why are you running our ticket together? What do you think your co-candidate's strongest attribute is?
Okay. See, I think we answered this question wrong the last time. Because you took co-candidate to mean the other candidate's running. I think it's our relationship between the two of us.
Yes.
Okay.
I assume that's what it
is. Well,
means.
I mean, I don't mind talking about them. The other people, I think,
we're not
pretty good too. We won't, but we'll talk about each other. Okay, well, I think Anthony and I have been friends since freshman orientation, before he even came to Mason. And so I think we have a really good working relationship. We don't agree on a lot of things, but I think that that's what makes it our working relationship good, because we can argue, which we always do, and but in the end we'll be able to come to a conclusion or some type of compromise that in the end is better for everyone. I think he's one of the only people who I'll honestly admit that I'm wrong sometimes. Other people don't get that.
You heard that here.
I know, but vice versa, because you're wrong on a lot of things too.
Yeah, but I don't admit it as well.
You know, but I think that in terms of his greatest attribute is just that he, you know, he's involved in a lot of things. He knows a lot of people and a lot of students. He's not, you know, running for the president of the United States. He's a normal student, and I think that that's what's good, because he can represent everyone. You know, he's not trying to be the president of the world or anything.
No, that's later on in life.
please.
I guess what I would say about Krista is I'm a very headstrong person, and it's nice to meet someone who's just as headstrong as me, but in the opposite direction. And like Krista said, we butt heads sometimes over issues, but it allows us to see all sides of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, because we're deciders, we, we're able to, you know.
Glad you amuse yourself.
I know, I crack myself up. We're able to, no, but we're able to look at an issue and say, you know, what's the best outcome that we want from this?
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather have two people that are going to disagree from time to time than have two people in office that are going to be, you know, one brain, one mind, group kind of think going on, because then you're really not having a diverse, you know, a diverse conversation going on in terms of ideas. And also, you know, Chris is one of my closest friends. You know, I trust her with a lot of things. I do accept her advice a lot of times, and a lot of times she is right.
That's awesome.
I tend to be, and Krista is more of an optimist than I am. I take a much more negative, realist view of the world, and Krista has a very idealist view of the world, and I think somewhere in the middle we find a very middle view of the world, or a mid-realist kind of view of the world, and I think that's, in terms of like what we've done as a government, I think that's the approach that we usually take.
Mm-hmm.
So
cool. Okay. What do you see as the most important issue that needs to be addressed by student government, and what is your approach to solving it?
I know my answer, but I wonder what your answer is.
Oh, so you're making me go first.
Well, because
did you go first last time?
I think I did.
Okay, well, let's see. What are the biggest issue facing student government? I think we've talked about it a lot, and I think it all comes down to advertising and transparency of what student government does. I think, I think there's a lot of misunderstanding and confusion about what student government does, only because we haven't done a good enough job of getting that information out there to students. We've worked, and I'm not even saying we, like Anthony and I, but in terms of student government, has done a lot, at least the past 2 years I've been there, and it's an organization that I'm really proud to be a part of, and I think that students, by our fault alone, don't know what goes on in student government, don't know the things that we've worked on, even telling them the things we've tried to work on and have failed, they still deserve to know that too, and I think that that's going to be the biggest issue facing us, and one way to do that is just to advertise the crap out of student government, to get that listserv, to get those newsletters going, to get all that information up on the website, so to update the website, have the legislation up there, the minutes of meetings and even cabinet meetings. Yeah. I don't even think I've seen cabinet minute meetings. But
I guess for my 2 cents on it would be, going back to something I've already said before, is really getting students involved in the process. You don't necessarily have to be a student senator, or you don't necessarily have to work an exec, but getting involved in the process is half the battle.
Mm-hmm.
I've thought of this idea last night. I didn't share it with you, but I'm going to share it with you here right now in front of the broad side. People all go out there and they say, I don't even know who the student body president is. I wouldn't even know who to argue with. If we're elected, I'm fully in support of getting us T-shirts that say, what's your beef, and have one on the back that says student body president, and have one that says student body vice president. It's lame, but think about it.
It is lame.
Think about it. If people knew who to complain to.
Would I have to wear it every day?
Well, no, but we would wear it it'd kind of be like ambassadors. We'd set a period of time in which, we'd wear the shirt maybe, 4 or 5 times during, a month or something. And then people can say, you're practicing a way of saying, look, here I am. If you have a problem, you know where to find us. It's just another advertising tool I thought of. But getting people involved in the process is really half the battle. And to do that, you really have to do the marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously the university puts up certain roadblocks for us that makes it difficult to convey, everything to all students. There's no master list that we can send out. And we're not about to hijack the provost's office. So it's really, I think, what we would really want is to find someone, if we win, find someone who has a very strong passion for marketing and someone that can really come up with a really comprehensive plan of how to attack literally the student body so that we can tell them what's going on all the time.
I know. We've learned a lot from the campaign, too.
Yeah.
Things, effective ways to reach the students and some not-so-effective ways to reach the students.
You want to know the most effective way? I don't know if you knew this. It's a very new, novel concept. Actually going up to students.
And talking to them. Who knew?
It's really weird. Actually, sometimes I'll even say, do you mind if I sit with you? So we can have, a little 2-3 minute conversation about what's pissing you off at Mason.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you just you show people the time of day, they're more likely to get involved.
Yeah.
But when you're up on your soapbox going, I'm the president, I'm going to do what I want, people aren't going to listen to you. I wish they could see me just doing that little dance right there, but they're never going to know about it.
Unfortunately not.
It's just for you.
Just for me. If student government could have power over something that it currently does not have power over, what would you want that to be?
Besides the world. Okay. It would probably be the power to have a one single unified listserv that we could talk to everyone, and everyone would know what was going on. That's the biggest thing that we don't have, and it would be such a great tool if we had it. That's a fairly simple answer. I'm not even going to be really long-winded.
It speaks for itself.
It really does speak for itself. There's no clear way right now to talk to all the students on campus. You literally have to go through not middlemen, but a middle management team in different sectors of the campus to reach different sectors of the student body, and it's asinine.
Do you have anything to add?
I think the biggest issue we hear from students is I think if student government could take over the parking office,
yeah,
that'd be pretty cool too. I love the people in the parking office. if we've worked with them on an individual basis, but what the parking office represents, we could take that
it's
over.
It's like, yeah, you don't hate the individual, you just hate what it represents. Is right.
Right.
Okay.
We're going to dossier it up, hopefully.
Yeah. You're so ridiculous.
I guess these are the fun questions now. So
those
Pepsi
weren't the fun
Coke.
Questions?
Well, the funny questions.
Oh, the funny questions.
Oh, okay.
So, Pepsi or Coke?
I'm going to have to say Coke, John, even though I know your name's not John. because this is a Coke campus, and Coke has done many great things for this university. And I'd like to see the continued business, so I'm not going to say Pepsi. I'm going to say Coke.
Very political answer.
Very.
Yeah. I don't drink soda, so I will say water.
Which
my
is very un-American of her.
I
but
know.
If she did drink soda, she would say Coke.
Hmm. Sure. I don't drink soda either.
Yeah,
so
I don't like it. It's too bubbly.
Okay. What are your favorite things about Mason? Or favorite thing about Mason?
My favorite thing about Mason, I think, is just the opportunities that you have. Like, you can really do anything. You can get involved in whatever interests you. If we don't offer it, you can start it. I think the fact that Mason has an underwater hockey team is pretty ridiculously amazing. Because who else? I mean, obviously there are other schools who have them because they compete, but, like, really? That's crazy. And the fact that you can do stuff like that here at Mason, you can really be whoever you want. I think that's pretty cool.
Well, besides picking up the broadside on a Monday morning.
Oh, wow. What a brown loser.
I'd have to say my favorite thing at Mason is just the students. I mean, in the time that I've been here, the 3 years I've been here, I've just met, you know, I'm from New York. I come from a very sheltered town. And I just remember graduating and our teachers going, when you leave Mayapack, New York, you're going to realize there's a whole other world out there. And, you know, when I came here at Mason, it's a lot like Chris has said earlier in the interview. Mason's definitely become my home. I've just met so many different people from so many different backgrounds that if I stayed in New York, I probably would have just been around people that are more like me, which is loud, obnoxious, and Italian. but I think that's really it, is, you know, whether it's people that I've met in College Republicans, Chi Psi, working here at the info desk, you know, just being an average student, just, you know, getting to meet people, I think is one of the greatest untapped resources that we have at the school. Because there's a lot of kids, a lot of great ideas, and it's just really giving them the tools to do what they want to do with it. So,
cool. Okay, if you had to compare yourselves to any TV or movie president, who would it be?
You can go first.
Okay. I also changed my answer to this one. At first, I said JFK. He's a hometown boy. We're both from Massachusetts. But you know, things didn't end well. So I'm going to go with... I think everybody knows. I'm going to go with Jed Bartlett from West Wing. He was amazing. I love that show. But yeah.
Is that your answer?
That's my answer.
Okay. I'm going
to
have to go...
I have to explain it. I think it speaks for itself.
With United States President James K. Polk. And here's why. James K. Polk came into office. He had 5 things that he wanted to do. Okay? In the 4 years that he was our president, he accomplished all 5 of those things. He left. He died of chronic diarrhea. I mean, I hope I don't face a similar...
Oh, my God.
I hope I don't face a similar fate. But the point behind it is, he said, there's 5 things I want to do, and I'm going to do those 5 things. We don't have specifically 5 things that we want to do, but I want to say that we're all about results, and if we're not getting results, then we're not doing our job. But since we are going to get results, we will be doing our job.
Sounds
that's
good.
Why I say James K. Polk, one of the most underrated presidents in the United States history.
Okay. That's all of the questions we have here. Is there anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, I'd like to add that you should go to Anthony Krista for Estri.com.
That's the number 4, right?
The number 4.
What did I say?
He said 4SG.
Oh. Yeah, the number 4. I'm sorry.
Not.
I know, that would have confused people. I didn't think of that. If you go to our website, there's a whole page about the issues that we want to address. There's the What's Your Beef blog, where you can write to us, let us know what your beef is. If you click on the rather intimidating photo of myself and Krista, we'll take you to our Facebook group. I encourage you to either join the Facebook group, friend, either myself, Krista, both of us, none of us, whatever your delight is. And we really would appreciate the support come Tuesday, April 14th and Wednesday, April 15th.
I really just want people to vote in general.
I would love for them to vote for us.
For us, yes. But just voting in general, because in the past, you know, 2 years we've been here, we tried to make the voting process easier for students as part of, you know, the government side of the government academic affairs. And the more participation we have, the more legitimate our organization is.
And don't forget to vote for student senators. Yes. Don't just think it's just about the student body president and vice president. There's also senators. They're just as accountable to you. So please don't forget to vote for them as well.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all we got. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.